League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everybody, welcome to After Further Review. I'm Pete Doherty, along with the great Eric Baranchek, and this is our weekly podcast to go with our post-game day after video review of the Packers last game. So we went over the Packers' big 14-12 win over the Tampa Bay Bucks. A slight upset. The Packers were 1.5-point underdog in that game, and Eric and I both watched the tape separately and then talked about it. And we came up with a couple things that we wanted to emphasize this week. And first off was the Packers' run defense. They held Leonard Fournette to, I think it was 35 yards on 12 carries. Does that sound right? Or 32 yards on 12 carries, Eric? Yeah. That was a huge part of the game. So where does a lot of the credit to that go? When we talked, you saw a lot on the front. On the front line, the defensive linemen, outside linebackers, that went a long way to winning the Packers this game.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Pete. I appreciate the time this week. Hey, not only am I great, but I'm also great at audio, video, and getting linked online, so that's perfect. Secondary career for me. But anyways, long story short, the reality is the down linemen and the outside linebackers were able to control the line of scrimmage. And when you're watching the football game on TV, one of the things that you could look for is how that line of scrimmage moves. If you got offensive linemen that are driving downfield, or if everything is kind of stalemated on the ball. And what happened was is not only were they able to stalemate it, but also on the edge, able to set the edge and not let pullers or pulling guards and pulling tackles and on occasion or tight ends get outside and make plays on the outside and push guys around. So it was really a fine piece of performance from the front seven out of that for the Green Bay Packers.
I'm starting to think Kenny Clark, I mean, obviously he's been a really good player for a few years here. I'm starting to think he's, in the top two or three defensive tackles in the league. You've got, of course, Aaron Donald's the best one. You got the guy down at Tennessee. I'm not so sure Kenny Clark might not be the best one. He had a couple big plays yesterday.
Right. And he had two sacks and was very disruptive in the run game and made a couple of really key stops, especially early on in the game. One of the things that makes him pretty special is he's got a first step that is impressive. He can get off the line of scrimmage and get his hands in the offensive lineman very quick. And that's huge to maintain leverage and actually get leverage right off the ball like that. And one of the things that's really always been intriguing to me about Kenny Clark was I think he came in the league when he was like 20. So I know he's on his second contract, but he's still got a lot of good football in front of him if continues to play the way he is right now.
This game kind of reminded me, as after we talked, and I didn't realize it at the time, but it kind of reminded me of the reverse of the NFC Championship game a couple of years ago. If you remember in that game, the Packers were down by, I think it was five in the fourth quarter. Twice they got the ball back fairly early in the fourth quarter on Alexander interceptions. They went three and out twice, six straight passes. In this game, the Bucs were down just one score, a touchdown and a two-point conversion. It was 14-6. They got the ball back twice in the first half of the fourth quarter, and both times the Packers got stops. One was a three and out. One was the Bucs hit a 25-yard pass to midfield, and then Preston Smith made a huge play on that double reverse. That's kind of where games can be won and lost, right? What did were there any plays on either of those two drives that especially stood out to you as kind of drive stoppers?
Well, the sack in particular was was really good at the end there. Looking in the fourth quarter, which it was their first possession in the fourth quarter. They took possession at 13-17. First play was Fournette up the middle, no gain. That is a huge play. And then that set the tone for that series. So now they're sitting there at second and 10, and now they got to throw the ball.
That was the play where what you were talking about earlier with getting penetrated. That's where Clark pushed back. I think it was Gadecki was blocking him, their left guard. He pushed him back 2 yards. He didn't make the tackle, but that's right where the play was going. So Fournette had nowhere to go, and Rashawn Gary came off the edge unblocked and dropped him right at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, right there at second and 10, they're behind the chains right off the bat.
Yep, and now they got to throw the ball because, I mean, they've known at this point now that running the ball, they're just going to run it to try and keep the Packers defense honest. So second time they got the ball was when they had the first down pass for 25 yards. But then the next play was the play where there was the reverse that went crazy and didn't go very good. And then the very next play is a sack. So when you look at that defensive line and the way that they played the ball, it was really, really impressive for the way that they were able to just maintain the game. And really what they did was the defensive line dictated what Tampa Bay was going to do. They made sure that Tampa Bay was going to throw the ball because they felt they had good matchups, and they did have good matchups. They were able to beat the one-on-ones when they needed to, and they sent Quay Walker several times in the A-gap or a B-gap on a delay or mugged up. So there was a lot of things that they did to dictate what Tampa Bay was going to do, and it played into their hands. And, hands off to the way that defensive line played because they were aggressive and they controlled the line of scrimmage. And when you get 35 yards rushing, that's what happens.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, that double reverse. And I wondered watching it. It was either live or when I saw the replay. And watching it again today, I think that was going to be a double reverse flea flicker, because if you watch, Fournette starts out blocking on the right side and he's there for a couple beats, and then he takes off on a circle route and starts looking back at Brady. Brady's behind the play the whole time. So I think they were running a double reverse, pitch to Brady, throw to Fournette. But Preston Smith blew the whole thing up because he stayed home on the initial reverse. And when Perriman tried to pitch it to Scotty Miller, Preston Smith was there. He basically blew up the whole thing and he kind of hit Perriman and the ball hit the ground and it was a 12-yard loss. But I thought that was interesting. That I think that might have actually been a flea flicker pass. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Yeah, that was that part I did not notice about being passed. The only thing that I like defensive line play, and Preston Smith stayed home, and then when he saw the ball, he went at it, and he didn't have to knock the ball out or anything like that, but he was there, and that made, you know, took the eyes off of the ball, and those things get, that's just what happens when you stay home and you do what you're supposed to do. So that was a huge play. Again, Preston Smith didn't knock the ball out per se, but him being there was enough to get the offensive player's eyes off of the football and onto him, worrying about where he's going to be. And he did make some contact, so it was good.
Yeah, totally blew up the play. Clark sack on the next play, and it was 3rd and 30. That drive was over. The other big topic that we wanted to hit, and this is an important one, and this will have season-long repercussions. So Bakhtiari comes back. He plays, a little more than half the game. We don't know this week if they're going to do the same and alternate him and Nyman, or if Bakhtiari will play more, or if he's going to be full-time left tackle. But as long as he doesn't have any big setbacks, he's eventually going to be the left tackle this season, it's looking like, back at left tackle. So then what do they do with Nyman? You could either put him on the bench and have him be your swing tackle, or you could put him at right tackle, bump Jenkins to right guard, and take Newman out of the starting offensive line. I know you're an advocate, from our talk today, you're an advocate of the former, putting Nyman at right tackle and bumping Jenkins down to right guard. You know, coaches always talk about getting the best five out there. What's your thinking there, and why that would be the better way to go?
Well, number one, Jenkins was an All-Pro, not just a Pro Bowler. He was an All-Pro at guard, and I think they have a really good center there now in the run game. I know some people like to point out that he misses some blocks and stuff in the pass game, which he does.
I'm not giving him any leeway there, but in the run game, he's devastating. And I think to have those two guys shoulder to shoulder could make a very formidable running attack, especially, you know, inside the tackle type stuff. And what a lot of people don't realize too is you cutting off backside backers and getting up and picking off safeties that are trying to scrape over the top on an outside run is a big deal. And I like that combination there. The other thing too is, I mean, I don't know how you keep Nyman on the bench. If he is truly your third tackle, I think he's the next best guy. I think he's better than anyone else that they can put in there. So you're going to have the opportunity to keep him at a right tackle position and have a really good pass blocker and a really good run blocker and get the best five guys out on the field and have at it. And the other thing happens too, is if there's an injury, all of those guys, Jenkins, Nyman a little bit, Runyon, they all play different spots on that line of scrimmage. So to flip them around is not like a game-changing situation. A lot of times if you have to move, let's say your left tackle goes down and you move your right tackle or your left guard to left tackle, that's weakening two spots. Whereas let's say Bakhtiari did have to miss a game with some health issues and they flipped Nyman back over there. All those guys have played those spots before and played at a pretty good level. And I don't see it as being something that is a negative. I really like the fact that they have an opportunity to be a really good run team and it all starts up front and get your five best big guys out there and have at it.
Yeah, this would really be a spot where they'd – you know, the emphasis really is almost more on the run blocking than the pass blocking, which is a lot different than things have always worked around here. But that is where Jenkins has been at his best. He's pretty good. He's very good at all the positions, but guard is his best one. And LaFleur at his press conference today didn't say he basically didn't give any hints as to what they're thinking when that point comes where Bakhtiari will be full time. So we don't know what they're what the Packers are going to do. But they do have a big choice to make there, and like I said, it'll have season long repercussions as long as everybody's healthy. And you know, you hear these guys talk all the time, get their five best out there. Well, we'll find out who they think their five best are. So that'll have to do it. We'll wrap this one up. Thanks everybody for joining us on After Further Review. We'll be back again next week to talk about the game review of the videotape. As the Packers will host New England, which will be without their quarterback, Mac Jones, who has a high ankle sprain.
That's a game changer right there.
It is. It's
making it a little bit easier for Green Bay.
It's not who you play. It's when you play them. That's one of those. That's a really true aphorism about the NFL. So we'll have a lot to talk about next Tuesday also. So hope you'll join us then. Until next week, I'm Pete for Eric. Take care.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.